ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Human beings are remarkable creatures. Over time, we've invented a multitude of tools and knickknacks that help us live our lives. And they're so efficient and good at what they do, we don't even notice them anymore. But each object has a tale of human ingenuity to tell. Welcome to Extraordinary Everyday. I'm Anthony Burke. You can take it to the cricket, on a picnic, or load it up for a camping holiday. This versatile little container has transformed the Australian outdoors, making sure a cold drink is never far away. It's the esky, a quintessentially Australian object that feels deeply embedded in our cultural DNA. But where did it come from? And is it truly an Australian design? Ian Wong is a senior lecturer in the Monash University Faculty of Arts, Design and Architecture and founder of the Ian Wong Collection. Good afternoon, Ian.
Hi, Anthony. I'm very pleased to be here.
So is the esky an actual Australian design?
The idea of a cooler is not so much Australian, but certainly the esky as we know it, we call it an esky, evolved in 1952 from a company called Mallee's in Sydney. And Mallee's started their business, Francis Mallee started it in 1884. So for a long time, they were making other products and particularly ice chests and things in the 40s. And they used to participate in those wonderful sort of Moomba type parades celebrating industrial businesses. But in 1952, because cars and activity leaving the home became possible, the esky auto box was advertised in 1952 and it was £5, 12 and 6.
Okay. To be precise.
Yes.
Wonderful. So that's so interesting because the esky was there to serve a need and that need was we were suddenly mobile.
Correct, yeah. And so things like picnics, beer was in long neck bottles. It wasn't in stubbies and cans and things. So a vessel, a container to enable us to enjoy the outdoors. We love the outdoors in this country. So our beaches and our state forests and things became a place where we could go with respite and with our family.
I feel positively un-Australian asking this next question, but what does esky actually stand for?
Well, it's effectively a play on Eskimo. So it effectively comes from the idea of a cold box or a cold place. So they had the esky logo on fridges from the 40s. And what was particularly fun for my collection was that once I saw the picture, not a photograph, but the picture in the ad, I then had to hunt for that very particular way the word was put on the esky. So Mallee's had a whole lot of sort of 60s and 70s products with a different brand. But because this particular font and this particular look of that product, it was only about 4 years ago that I got the very, very first one for my collection.
So what did that first esky look like? Let's go to the Mallee's. Was it 1952 version?
1952. And it was a very simple metal chest. So it wasn't particularly flash in its appearance. It was promoted as made of steel and galvanized so that it would last with the rust, et cetera, that would come from having a lot of water and being wet a lot. But it had simple metal clasps, so it was all metal and with a simple hammer tone finish. So it was very industrial. It wasn't a consumer product in the way that we would know them today.
Okay. So, I mean, that doesn't sound very portable. It sounds quite heavy, actually.
Yeah, it was heavy, but it wasn't a particularly large volume. So it would have taken sort of half a dozen bottles of beer as opposed to a slab or something like that, which we might want to currently take away.
And I mean, it wasn't just beer that we were presumably interested in, you know, taking to the picnic, or was it really tied to our beer fascination?
Correct. The very first one had a tray for your sandwiches and food and things like that. So it was very sort of wholesome and the idea of the picnic was dominant. And as you mentioned, as eskies became more popular, they became a thing for which you could play cricket with or for larger ice chests with lots of different beverages in them. But this first one, yes, definitely had the notion that it would be food and beverage.
Given the evolution of the esky from 1952, it's come a long way. What do you think the biggest design leap has been in its history?
I think the biggest design leaps are in the plastics. Obviously, the evolution of the lightweight. You mentioned the weight of the object itself. You want to be able to carry the volume of drinks that you're wanting to do as opposed to have a lot of mass in the object that's protecting them and thermally insulating them. So one thing that was interesting to me was that in the 60s, the Willow Company, which is a Melbourne-based company, patented and had a process for expanded polystyrene. So a lot of those really early, you know, those ones that sort of had coloured fleck in them, the polystyrene, and they sort of fall apart, the sort of thing you might take fishing and that sort of thing. And also the ones that were bottles, so they were just flasks as well as the Esky. Charles Fury designed one of the very, very first one. He's a very famous early pioneering industrial designer, and he designed for Willow one of those very, very early ones.
Apart from keeping things cold, what are the sort of the design parameters around designing an esky? Because I'm sort of thinking of actually a huge range of designs that have colours, shape, sizes, all the rest of it. Like it's a really big variety of eskies out there. What are we kind of holding onto as the core principles, if you like?
I think, well, the core principles are stable transport. So the handle needs to be in a position so that whatever is in the esky, including often when the ice has melted water, is relatively stable. So you sort of think about the lid and think about opening it, but the handle is actually a very, very important part of it. Initially, handles were often just a piece of rod, so metal wire bent into a shape, but increasingly plastics became possible, and the designers who were doing it became very aware of gas injection and those sort of processes, which made a durable, solid handle, but one that was lightweight.
So were there any limits on the imagination when it came to esky design?
I think it's a very practical object, you know, so you can't go completely crazy. But certainly one of the fascinating ones was Hugo Davidson, who is very famous for a lot of products that he's worked on. But he was at the time when CAD was just going crazy and surfaces and forms were possible that previously were not easy to do. So he was fascinated in the 80s trying to make this very sculptural and very sort of, it's almost like music goes through phases, you know.
Yeah.
The 80s was a lot about curves and soft shapes and things because of the Alias software, which Apple still use today.
Were there any moments when the innovation in esky design kind of went one step too far? I'm thinking, you know, it got shaped like a wicket, for example.
Well, one of the Willows ones does have a fold-out wicket.
So there you go.
It does. It can go a little bit extreme at times.
Yeah.
But what's particularly strong in the Australian context is so many of our iconic designers, and at least six from the Hall of Fame, have designed an esky. So it's a very dominant object form for Australian designers, obviously naturally because of our culture and our lifestyle, but also the manufacturing base, where we had preventative tariffs and things that kept other industries out, the opportunity was to develop it here, and therefore there was more opportunity for designers, Ron Rosenfeld and others, you know, to get the opportunity to design an esky.
Was the Australian esky design something that was taken up around the world?
One lovely story I like to tell with regard to the international sort of connection, it's not to do with the way the product evolved, but it is a connection. So a lot of us would remember the little blue brick that we have in our esky that we freeze and we keep cold. What's a beautiful story is I was rung in about 2010 by an engineer from Nilex saying, look, we're shutting the plant, we've been sold. And I'd worked with them a lot, so he said, look, come down and have a look at the drawing office. So I knew to act straight away. I jumped in the car, and within half an hour I was down at Seaford near Frankston, you know, looking at the drawing office, and he said, a lot of the stuff's out in that container out there, which has got the door open and rain's gone in and stuff. You can have anything from out there. So out of that craziness, you know, a dumpster virtually, I pulled a whole series of drawings of Nilexes from various famous designers, Lionel Sutty and Ted Kayser and stuff. But the one that is most amazing is from Michael Simcoe. It's from 1979, a pencil drawing on trace, which many people would identify with a traditional engineering drawing from a factory. And Michael went on to be the head of Holden, designed the Monaro, and became head of design for General Motors until recently. So it's just wonderful to have these artifacts of history. And until recently, that particular type of little blue block that he designed, it was his first thing he designed with Lionel Sutty at Nilex in 1979.
I mean, some of the weight that I'm sort of imagining goes into the design of an esky is exactly the kind of the cultural weight that comes with it. You know, it's something that's obviously very iconic to us as Australians. Do you feel like designers are thinking that way explicitly when they're designing eskies?
Yes, I think so. David Flynn was an extraordinary designer who actually worked in-house with Willow, one of our major brands in this space. And in the 90s and 2000s, he developed a whole new range of family of products. And he was very, very dedicated to the aesthetic of that particular range and that particular aesthetic that expressed our outdoors and our love of outdoors, and all the photo shoots for the job were all, you know, like an Ansett or a Qantas airline holiday island, you know, expose. So it was terrific.
So last question for you. What's the future of the Esky?
Maybe the future of the Esky is something that an autonomous robot will take from your car and place on the beach for you, so you can, you know, not have to lug it around. And they can go upstairs, so, you know, you can have your Uber Eats delivered by an Esky, but it's a robot knocking on your door.
The mind boggles. That's so great. The Eskies. What a wonderful little invention. And I just to come back to the very first question, I mean, that represents Australia, but would you say it was actually an Australian design?
I definitely consider the Esky, you know, how we talk about thongs or flip-flops or pavlova, et cetera. Esky as an idea, absolutely Australian,
okay.
Yes.
Great. I'm glad we solved that one, because that was probably the most important question of the whole interview, actually.
It's important that we hang on to the things that we are responsible for. That's something I'm very proud of.
Very good.
You know, celebrate those people, celebrate those companies that have been pioneering.
Yeah, a little cultural claim to make. Ian Wong, Senior Lecturer in the Monash University Faculty of Art, Design and Architecture, and founder of the Ian Wong Collection. Before we go, I just have to share an email that was sent in response to our episode on men's neckties. Margaret writes, "One Sydney hospital has banned doctors from wearing neckties. That resulted from swabs having been taken from neckties and being cultivated for bacteria. Turns out that doctors wash their hands but not their ties, which are a zoo of microorganisms. Fascinating and a bit disturbing." Thanks for writing in with that little bit of intel, Margaret. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you follow the show on ABC Listen. Just search Anthony Burke's By Design. And if you are listening elsewhere, please give us a 5-star review so others can find us.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.